You're listening to the School Success Formula with me, Lucy Parsons. This is episode number 39. Hello and welcome to today's show. Today I've got a really special and important one for you today because this week is British Science Week and I'm talking to a female engineer in the renewable energy industry who is also a science educator with an absolutely fantastic YouTube channel with loads of really entertaining science videos for students studying for their GCSEs in science. And what we talk about in today's interview is what it's like to be a woman in the engineering industry, which is a very male-dominated industry, and also about how Hayley didn't follow a typical path into engineering. And I think this is a great story for people to listen to who are really stressing about their A-level choices or their degree-level choices, because it shows that if you have a real passion and commitment, you can often find a way into a career through unexpected routes. So keep listening to hear the interview with our guest, Hayley Loren. Before we do that, I just want to tell you about something that I've got coming up, which is an exam technique masterclass. So one of the biggest frustrations I see for students is that they work really, really hard on their revision, but they don't seem to get the rewards in terms of improvement in marks. So they might have plateaued at a certain grade or a certain number of marks in all the exams that they and tests that they take in a particular subject. And this usually happens because students haven't worked on their exam technique, or they don't know how to work on their exam technique. So I'm going to be holding a masterclass on the evening of Thursday the 29th of March from 7 till 9 p.m. and what it's going to cover is all the different things that your child needs to do to really improve their exam technique. So we're going to look at how to identify command and content words so that your child totally understands the question so they can give the examiner the answer that they're looking for. We're going to how to use command and content words as well as the number of marks available for the question to help put together a logical structure for every answer and therefore gain more marks. We're going to understand the difference between point marking and level marking so that they know which type of question they're answering and how to maximise that to get the most marks possible. We're going to look at essay planning so that your child can put together a logical, well-structured and complete answer. And we're also going to look at time management in the exam so that students can make sure that they answer all questions properly by giving each question the time it deserves. And finally, your child will walk away with the tools they need to practice their exam technique and see consistent improvement throughout the rest of revision season. So you'll see a link to the information page about the exam technique masterclass in today's show notes, which you'll find at today at lifemoreextraordinary.com/39, or you can just come directly to the information and sign up page, which is lifemoreextraordinary.com/exam-technique-masterclass. Okay, thank you for listening to that. I really hope to see your child on the exam technique masterclass. Let's celebrate British Science Week and go over to today's interview. Our guest today is an engineer in the offshore wind industry, a YouTuber and a science communicator. She's absolutely passionate about showing the fun in science and changing people's perceptions of engineering. On her YouTube channel, our guest merges creativity and comedy with the GCSE science curriculum to provide videos that both entertain and help students learn. Many of these videos are used by teachers as part of their lesson plans and as revision tools before exams. Our guest has worked within engineering for the past 8 years across the energy industry. She has a unique background, having originally studied biology at Durham University. Following her undergraduate degree, Hayley was sponsored by an engineering firm to complete an engineering master's whilst working full-time. She now works as an engineer and project manager on one of the largest wind farm projects in the world. Welcome to the show, Hayley Loren.
Hi, Lucy.
Can you tell us a bit more about yourself, but mostly what made you so enthused by science and engineering that you wanted a career in that area?
Obviously, by day, I'm an engineer in the offshore wind industry, as you've said, and it's really exciting to be working on one of the largest wind farms in the world,
which is pretty cool.
It's off East Anglia, off the coast of East Anglia, so there's going to be about 120 turbines being installed over the next 2 years, so it's huge.
Wow.
Really cool. And by night, I feel like I'm Batman. By night, well, on the side, I'm a science communicator and YouTuber. So, as you said, I create videos that basically help and entertain students at the GCSE level. And I basically link it with the GCSE curriculum as well. So I try and make it fun and really inspiring. I'm hoping to really branch out on the curriculum. There's so many interesting topics. Mm-hmm. It's just endless. It's amazing. So I'm excited for this year, actually.
Okay, so you went to university to study biology, but then you transitioned into engineering. How did that work?
Yeah. It's quite funny because when I was at school, I had no idea what an engineer was. It just didn't ever come up. I was really passionate about science because my family are massive sci-fi geeks. And so I've grown up watching sci-fi films, reading Michael Crichton. He wrote Jurassic Park, and he was amazing at combining like fact and fiction. So science was always a big part of my life. And I think through that, I was able to like think about the big concepts and what the future would be like and start asking those big questions. But I didn't know about engineering. It wasn't really spoken about at all. So I followed a passion because my sixth form teacher gave me the book The Selfish Gene. I don't know if you've heard of
Richard
that.
Dawkins.
Yeah, Richard Dawkins.
And I heard him speak at the Cambridge Union when I was at university. Yeah, fascinating.
No. Oh, he's amazing. And that book, it just blew my mind. I mean, as a 15-year-old, reading that, I was like, wow, this is amazing. Because at school, I think you're taught to memorize things and learn things, but you don't always understand the bigger picture of how it all slots in.
So
it was just incredible. So off the back of that, I got really into biology. So I went and did biology at uni. And it wasn't until my third year, when I started doing a lot to do with renewables and biofuels, that I came across engineering. Because I was like, oh, this is amazing that you can take like a tiny little microalgae and extract oil from it and then use that in cars and things like that. I was like, wow, how does that even happen? And as a biologist, we were told that we would be responsible for like growing the algae and finding out how to extract the oil. But I was more interested in like, okay, but what about the big stuff? You know, how do you industrialize it and how do you actually make it work for people in their homes? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, that's what engineers do. So I didn't know until I was about 20 that engineering is this huge, incredible world that's involved in so many different industries, in fashion, so smart fabrics, and in healthcare and things like that. So this whole world just opened up. It was like one of those aha moments. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wow. So I kind of made it my mission to become an engineer. And I did.
How did you make that happen? Because I can't imagine that it's easy to become an engineer without having an undergraduate engineering degree.
It was quite tough, actually, because I had to go through a bit of a unique way to get there. So I basically applied for loads of different jobs across lots of different engineering companies. And I actually took one as a PA to the managing director of an energy firm.
Okay.
And I thought, right, if I work really hard and if I impress them, then they might see potential in me. So I did that. And within the first 3 months, they sponsored me to do the engineering master's. And then I went straight on to the engineering graduate scheme.
Wow.
So I did the master's whilst I was working full time and gaining that experience as well. So
were you working as a PA while you were doing that?
No, so I worked as a PA only for 3 months.
Okay.
So I think this is definitely one thing that I learned. that I think when some people come out of university, you think that you have to get the best job. But really, if you work hard enough and if you impress the right people, you can really make things happen. Mm-hmm. So I was only a PA for 3 months, and then I went straight into being like a graduate engineer, and I worked in like marketing and business development on the side as well, which was really fun. But so I was working full time as an engineer doing the masters.
Yeah. Well, that's absolutely fascinating, and I just want to draw 3 things out for the people who are listening from what you've already said. I think the first thing was the importance of the work you did outside of school in terms of your further reading to develop your passion and, you know, really open your eyes to the possibilities of what further academic study could do for you. So particularly that book by Richard Dawkins, The Selfish Gene, really kind of gave you a wow moment that made you want to carry on. And I encourage all students to do as much further reading or going to conferences or courses or whatever they can do around the edge of their core academic study to really bring that to life and really fuel their enthusiasm. So it's fantastic to hear that you've done that. I think the second thing is how hard you worked at like doing the PA thing and just what you did to prove yourself to the people around you. And I think in the current climate, people question the appropriateness or the, you know, how worthwhile it is to do a degree. And I think you've proved that if you go in there with the right attitude, you can make your dreams come true. If you show up in the right kind of a way. And there was something else that I think you said, but I can't remember what it was, so we'll leave it there for the time.
But you are absolutely right with the with doing things outside of your course. That for me was all very natural. I think following your natural passions is so important, because sometimes I think we get really obsessed with the personal statements and things when you're applying for uni, or you know what A levels you're going to take. But if you just think, okay, what naturally am I really interested in? You just gravitate towards it, and then it's really fun. It doesn't have to be this like forced thing for your application.
Definitely, and I think that's actually the point that I wanted to make, is about following your passion, following your interest. And I've written, I did a podcast interview a few weeks ago about choosing your A-levels and the need to follow your passion. And I've also made a YouTube video about which subjects you should choose at university and whether you should follow your head or your heart. And I always advocate following your heart, because like as your story proves, things just unfold for you if you follow that passion, because you're showing up every day with that passion and that excitement. So you are a woman in the engineering industry.
Yes,
have
I am.
You faced any obstacles on your way to getting there? Because the stereotype still very much is that it's a male-dominated industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it very much is. And I think there is that general thing in society where it's forced upon you quite young that girls should be pretty and they should be doing all the pretty things, and boys, you know, they give them the truck when they're really young. And I think it's not an obstacle as a girl. I think it's just something that's put upon you from when you're young. But I think society is getting really good at recognizing that and trying to change it, which is great. Mm-hmm. For me, I went to a really traditional all-girls school, and engineering wasn't brought up at all. It was mainly being a vet or a doctor and things like that. And I think that if it had been brought up earlier with me, if I had known what it really was, then I would have had that interest sooner. So the only obstacle that I've really had is that I came to it later. So maybe I'm a little bit behind where I would have wanted to be. Because if I'd done it at university and if I'd known that route, then it would have been a lot easier, I think.
Yeah. So nobody said no to you going in that direction. It's just that it wasn't put in front of you as an option. And that was the main obstacle to you following what you really wanted to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, in life, there's always going to be people who try and put you down or who say, you can't do that. You can't do this. I had a couple of teachers at school when I was doing my GCSEs who told me that I would only get C's and D's in science, which was really horrible, actually, because as somebody who was passionate about science as well, it kind of just destroyed me for a few weeks. But I ended up getting like all A's. So I just thought,
how do you turn that around? Because I get students come to me and saying things like that. Like, I remember one email I got from a student who said, my science teacher has told me there's no way I'm going to get a C in science, and I'm really disappointed, and I can't believe they don't believe in me, and blah, blah, blah. And they were really, really down. How did you turn yourself around from that situation of being told that you couldn't do what you wanted to do or achieve the level you wanted to achieve by your teacher?
Well, I had really supportive, wonderful parents, which helps, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And they absolutely believed that I could achieve what I wanted to. But they were also happy. They didn't put the pressure on. They were happy if I did only get the C's and the D's as well. But it was in me, and I was so passionate about science that it was a non-starter. I guess I'm going to prove them wrong. So maybe it helped in a way, in a sad sense.
But it can make you think, right, I'm going to show them.
Exactly. Yeah. I think I've held on to that all my life, and now I kind of want to go back to my teacher and be like, you said I'd get a D, and now I'm an engineer.
So I think it's about perspective and how you frame these things when, you know, people are discouraging, you know, how you frame it in your own head about how you respond to it and move forwards from it.
It can be tough, though, because confidence is so important at that age when you're doing your GCSEs. It can just hit you really hard. But I think for somebody like that, it's just, you know, if you're interested in it, just keep going. Just don't listen to other people and what they say.
Follow your passion. That's the message.
Exactly. Follow the passion.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked there a bit about some of the mindset barriers that people put in your way, but were there any specific mindset barriers that you faced in joining a male-dominated industry?
The main one was confidence. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have the engineering background to begin with as well, I think I initially put myself down. Mm-hmm. And I think as women, we have a tendency to do this, so we don't think we're good enough and we compare ourselves quite a lot. And having that being told when I was younger that I wouldn't be able to get the A's at GCSE either, it did knock me quite a lot. But that being said, because, again, of the passion, it's a real theme, isn't it? Because of the theme, the passion, it just pushes you through. And really, it is male-dominated, but there are still quite a lot of women in there. There's actually a lot more women in there than I thought there would be. And a lot of the men are so passionate as well about what they're doing that it's just a shared interest, and it doesn't really matter. It's really not important. So they're just excited to have people on board who are interested, who work hard, who are persistent and driven, and that's more important than whether you're a man or a woman.
Definitely. I think what you said there was really interesting. I've just read a book by Tara Moore, spelled M-O-H-R. Well, I actually listened to it on Audible, and it's called Playing Big. And what she does is she helps women to play big in their own lives. So to stop, like, kind of containing yourself to do the small stuff and actually step onto a bigger stage and change the world, really. What she said was that a lot of women hold themselves back by saying, oh, I just need to get another degree in this, or I need to go and do a PhD, or I need to get this qualification, or this or that, without actually stepping back and saying, what do I already know, and what already qualifies me for this job? And it's like you said, that teacher saying that you're going to get D's held you back even after you got the A's. You were looking for more and more proof to refute that, weren't you?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that as girls and women, we have to really, and I know I do it myself, I sometimes think I'm not qualified to be doing what I do, and then I have to sit down with a piece of paper and say, right, I've got my A's at A level, I've been to Cambridge, I've got my teaching qualification, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other, and just to prove to ourselves that we do have what it takes to succeed.
Yeah.
And so I think that's not something that men suffer from as badly as women do.
I know in my mind, I try and convince myself why I'm failing, which is so bad. I mean, it's the same as you. Like, I've got a degree, I've got a master's, I've been working for 8 years, yet still I doubt myself sometimes. Why do we do that? Whereas a man can, they're just like, yeah, it's fine, totally fine. Yeah. And that's infuriating in itself, actually. It's really tough. But
Do you see that happening in your work still? Like, women looking for that external validation, whereas men having the confidence to just push on through?
Yeah, definitely. I guess this is where the male thing comes in as well, is that they are naturally more confident, and they'll walk into a room and they instantly get that respect.
Yeah.
And they instantly get that trust. Whereas as a woman, that, and this isn't just engineering, this is across every single industry, really,
mm-hmm.
that you have to work that extra bit harder to gain the trust of people in the room.
Yeah.
And that's really tough. Or there's an assumption that you are the PA. I know I was at the beginning, but, you know, shedding that after, it's tough because people assume you're there to make the coffee. Sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's really this book by Tara Moore. She has a whole chapter on how to give, like she says that women either will be liked or seen as competent, and they don't see how they can be both at the same time. But she's got a whole chapter on how you can change your patterns of speech and how you write emails and that kind of thing to be both liked and seen as competent at the same time. So yeah, if people are interested in this, I highly suggest.
Oh well, getting I'm going to read that.
Yeah, you should. Okay, last thing about being a woman in science. Have you ever experienced any stigma or discrimination as a woman, like sexism or anything like that?
This is a really tough one, actually, because overarching, no.
Mm-hmm.
And in engineering, it kind of links to what we were saying before, that I don't think it's an engineering issue. I think it's a society thing about men stepping in the room and get that instant respect, whereas a woman doesn't. I think the difference is that in engineering, when I go into a room, I tend to be the only female. That's happened so many times where I've been in meetings and I look around, I am the only woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, it's odd, but it's actually quite normal for me as well.
You get used to it.
Yeah, you do get really used to it. But I notice that more in oil and gas. So I think it really depends on the industry that you're in. So oil and gas is very old school. It's a very old industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for quite a long time. And that is known, it's notorious for being very male dominated. And it is starting to shift. Whereas the cutting edge industries like renewable energy and offshore wind, it's full of women and female engineers. And I think that it's just that some industries lag behind others.
Mm.
So it's not an issue, it's just about time, and over time it will change. And I'm really starting to see that. And at the moment, I think it's a 50-50 split between women and men where I work, which is just fabulous.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, like your school didn't mention engineering as a career option, and you kind of came to it almost by accident, didn't you? You know, if that's a cultural thing that's happening across the country, that, you know, is going to limit the number of women in that field. And so that has to change in order for the industry to change, really, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And that's a key passion of mine now, is to not say, oh, everybody should be doing engineering and science, because that's not true, but to just at least share what it is so that people can make their minds up, so students know about it. And they know really what it is. It's not about fixing boilers. It's actually a lot of other things.
Yeah.
Really cool, important things. I mean, you know, so it's sharing that passion.
Definitely. So how can parents help their children get passionate about science and engineering other than by subscribing to your YouTube channel?
Yes, well, that would be great too.
That's the first step.
Well, science is definitely all about experiences, and it should be playful and it should be fun, and it should be getting out there and trying things and making mistakes. And I think you had, was it Dr. Pritchard,
yes,
the magician on your, he's fantastic. I really love what he does. And he's all about playing as well, isn't he? And being confident and making mistakes. And that's what science is. So I would say get out there, go to museums, because they have loads of different presentations on, and go to magician shows if you can, and make it really fun and playful. And I think it's the 28th of February is National Science Day. I know that it has a website and it will show lots of different events that are going on in local areas. Mm-hmm. So if you have time, I think a lot of it is about time, isn't it? But it's making the time to go and go to those events and really see what science is and experience it in a fun way. It's not memorizing things.
No.
You know, it doesn't matter. In the real world, it doesn't matter if you can't remember what an equation is. You can always look it up.
Mm.
It's more understanding what the equation means and the bigger picture of it and how it fits in with everything else. So
that's what Matt Pritchard said on his episode. It's the understanding of these key concepts that really, really matters. So, yeah, that's
absolutely.
And, yeah, this is something that I encourage parents to do. Like, I do this course for parents and students, and in one of the weeks it's all about falling in love with your subject, basically, and doing the further reading and going to the museums and all that kind of thing. And I tried to do this with my children. Like, we went to the Science Museum a few years ago and they had this amazing demonstration of bubbles and how bubbles work in incredible ways. And last summer we went to Duxford, the air museum.
Yes.
And they've got an amazing exhibition there that demonstrates all the scientific principles that are involved in flight, so flying aeroplanes, and takes you through all of them in a really practical way. And I think if you can get out to these places and have these really hands-on experiences, then that really, really helps you to access science in a much more holistic way than sitting there with a textbook and a whiteboard at the front of the classroom.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And also, I don't think we should underestimate the power of film as well. Like, as I said, my passion originally started because of watching sci-fi films with my family.
Yeah.
And reading science fiction books and things like that. And David Attenborough is amazing. So watching Blue Planet is amazing too. So it doesn't have to always be about going out. It's easy just to choose something that's scientific over another type of program that you're watching.
Yeah, and it's yesterday on the news, the day before we're recording this, there was about Elon Musk's space flight, and I didn't actually see it. I heard it on the radio, but my husband said that he saw these rockets, I think they were called, landing in completely synchronized. And just seeing that kind of thing and having, like Matt Pritchard talked about in his episode, having that awe and wonder about science and how beautiful it can be, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so what subjects do you need to study to have a science or engineering career?
Well, science helps. At GCSE, definitely triple science. I would really recommend that. I think you get more of a grounding and you can go into a bit more depth then as well.
Mm-hmm.
There is still triple science and double science, isn't
there?
Yes, there are. Yeah, so triple science, definitely. And for going into A-level, if you know that you want to do engineering, then physics and maths are very good.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually did biology, chemistry, and English and economics, which is quite a mix, really. So having two science subjects at A-level is very important. I think that's a minimum. And if you want to go off and be a doctor or anything like that, then you need three science subjects.
Yeah. Yeah, I did an interview, again, it's on my YouTube channel, with an admissions tutor in engineering at Loughborough University.
Oh, fantastic.
And they do a foundation year if you haven't done maths A-level. So if you have done maths A-level, I think you can do the degree in 3 years. I'd have to check on the website to be absolutely sure of that. But if you haven't done maths A-level, they do a kind of foundation year to kind of bring you up to speed with the maths. So there are options out there at various different universities, but you have to do your research to know what there is and how that can help you.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's amazing that they're doing that actually now, because it just allows so much more access.
I think they're doing it for some medical degrees as well, and doing a kind of, I can't remember the word they use for it, but it's like an access year to bring you up to speed so that you're able to really access the main part of the course. So that's really helpful to know. But I would always advocate making the right choices in the first place.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
I can vouch for that. It would be easier.
Yeah. Okay, Hayley, this has been really fantastic. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the listeners before we wrap up today?
I think I'll just say again that science is about having fun, and it's actually really creative as well. And it's all based on experiences, and we need to just think about the big picture and ask the big questions and have fun debates and things like that. And also, even if you're not wanting to fully go into science and engineering, or if you're not too sure which area that you want to go into, science is so good for problem solving and critical thinking. And actually, I can't remember which article it was that said this, but a lot of the CEOs of the top blue chip companies are they're engineers, originally engineers. So I think it's that way of being able to think. So you're able to solve physical problems, but you're also able to solve these conceptual problems in the business world, in the financial world. So having that skill is so valuable, and employers really, really love that.
Yeah, I reiterate that. A lot of the people who I knew who did maths and engineering at university went into working for investment banks and in businesses, and those numerical degrees are highly in demand in those kind of industries. So
yeah, it's a fantastic launch pad for your career. It really is.
Yeah. Fantastic. Okay, Hayley, where can people find you online and subscribe to your YouTube channel?
Well, my website is www.hayleylorenn.com, and that's L-O-R-E-N, Loren. And YouTube, you can just type in Hayley Loren and you'll be able to find me. Just look out for the bright ginger.
It's fab. I love your hair.
So bright, it's hard to miss me.
Well, I think your videos are amazing, and I think everybody should subscribe to your YouTube channel because it's entertaining as well as being educational. So that's brilliant. Thank you for making those videos and putting them out there for everybody.
That's so much fun to do.
Oh, good. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the School Success Formula today, Hayley.
Thank you so much. It's been really fun.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Wasn't that a great episode with Hayley? I really enjoyed talking to Hayley and hearing her honest take on what it's like to be a woman in science and engineering. Now, if you're interested in science and engineering, I do have another resource on my website, which is an interview with an engineering admissions tutor at Loughborough University, whose name is Will Witto. He's very hot on Twitter and really encourages students to apply to study engineering. So I've got a YouTube video interview with him, and I will link to that in today's show notes. If you've got any feedback or any questions, please do get into contact with Hayley or let me know in my Facebook group for parents, which is the Supportive Parents Successful Students Facebook community, or send me a tweet at Lucy C. Parsons. So all it remains for me to say today is thank you so much for listening, have a wonderful day, and goodbye.